It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And good to see my friend, my partner, Mike Ward.
Great to be here.
Let's take this. Let's take stories from this last week.
Okay.
From the rip from the headlines, news cycle stories, and convert them into outdoor stories.
I'd like to see you do it. Let's do it.
I got one. And I have to go back and check on what the latest counts are on the Marine Traffic app, which is one that lets you track ships, you know, all over the world.
Okay. I wonder where this was going.
I got it zoomed in. You know, I've been zooming in here south of Farewell Buoy.
Right.
And watching the count come up on the ships that are not able to come in and offload at the port.
Okay.
So that story for everybody else, not like all of us, but everybody else, they just see it as a supply issue and the strike and this thing going on.
Oh, no, it's much bigger than that.
But, yes, for those of us like you and I and so many people listening to the show, we go, that really stinks. It's a bad thing. But imagine the amount of ling fishing that can be done right now at the ships.
And king mackerel this time of year.
And think
king
about this.
And ling.
And think if this goes on. Now, I don't want it to go on. I want the strike to, you know, I want sides to come together.
Right.
But if it does go on for a little bit longer, we start piling up a dozen, two dozen ships, or maybe more.
Yeah.
Off, you know, south of the bay. I'm going fishing.
And also, you got lots of bait around the ship, so it's easy to catch bait around them, especially one that's been there just a little while, been there
think
a week
about,
or so.
Yeah, think about you it. If they're there a week or two.
Yeah.
I mean, so, yes, there's a real story going on, and it's concentrating on that, but, yes, silver lining out of a gray cloud is kind of a might be a boon for some October fishing. And October, you know, people do pretty good on ling in October as it is.
Absolutely. And the kings.
Yes, the kings.
This is when the kings show up.
So imagine to this mix we add all this floating structure out there.
Yeah. Well, it's good and bad, like you say. Yeah.
So, listen, I mean, it's if we can't do anything, like you and I can't go affect this strike. We can't go work it out.
Nope.
You know, nobody's asked Mike and Sean to come down and sit down with both parties. All right, y'all. You know, so in the meantime, let's take advantage of catching fish.
Let's go catch fish. Let's don't go to Sam's and Walmart and fight over toilet paper.
No. Let's just do this. Let's take the
That's
silver
line. That's what people are doing right now. They're fighting over toilet paper.
Right, where we will be fishing.
Yes.
And it is, while there's so much to do in the woods right now, it is just a great time of year to go
for everything.
To fish is good.
We're
going to talk a little freshwater, although in that freshwater is plenty of brackish water mix. We're going to talk to Captain Wayne Miller coming up in just a little bit as things get better on the bass front. The trout, they are as close to making the break into the Delta. I'm not saying there are probably some already in the Delta, but they are darn close.
Yep.
They have made
it. We need a little cool weather.
And where the shrimp are, well, you know, I had to work the other day, did my show at the Battleship, right? So once every 3 months or so, I do Midday Mobile, that show from the Battleship.
Right.
I do my show for an hour, and then Tom Claxton, the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, comes on. And at that point, I might break out and go look off the rails and check out what's going on in the outdoors.
Only you, Sean.
Yeah, and so when I see the bait shrimpers coming past the Battleship and hanging the turn right there before they get to the bridge,
yes,
they're getting as close as they can. That tells me everything I need to know about the shrimp migration. So, you know, it's popping out. The fishing in the rivers, the dead-end rivers, has been good. You know, we're looking at dog and fowl. And I have not heard reports from fish, but I imagine it's probably good if those others are good. But I know the west sides have been good. Down around the bayou, the trout fishing's been good as they're moving in. So trout fishing's been good. Had good reports of redfish.
Yep.
Some reports of bird schools. People are finding those bird schools the northern end of the bay. So those, you know, those shrimp coming up, getting run up by trout. I have not heard anything from north of the bridges and causeway, you know, north of I-10 or the causeway yet Doesn't mean it's not happening, but I haven't had that report.
It's a little early. It's a little early, but it could be happening, yes.
But it's
just south of the causeway, I guarantee you they're catching them.
Well, it's happening right now.
Several places down just south of the causeway that's really good this time of year.
And it's been going on. And to know that, you know, watching those, the bait shrimpers going that far north, they're not up there. They're not going that far north because they want to burn that gas.
Yes.
They're going there because that's shrimp there. That's all I need to. So I left my broadcast the other day with some information. I said, okay. Duly noted.
Last couple of weeks, I've been buying some shrimp from a friend of mine who's been shrimping.
Which, by the way, I had some last week. They were fantastic.
Yes, they are. And let me tell you, they are wearing the shrimp out right now. The shrimping is really, really good. They're filling the boat up in half a day.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, in the bay. So the bay fishing, bay shrimping is really good right now.
Yeah, and those are pulling, you know, the people that are pulling, like, to sell to us. And then they're doing good. And then to see the bait shrimp, live bait shrimpers.
Yes.
As far up as I'm seeing them, it's like, okay.
Yep. The shrimp are there, so you know the fish are there.
That's right.
No ifs, ands, buts about it.
So we got that offshore. See, I'm painting a rosy picture. We got that going on. We have possibly, it depends on how long the strike goes on, an innumerable amount of ships anchored off, you know, Farewell Buoy.
Yep.
And so things are good. And snapper season's still in. It's going to be in for a while, so.
Yeah.
Get out and enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to Cocodrie in a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks, I guess, now, the 20th or 21st or something like that. Going to Cocodrie, going to just go fishing.
Not a tournament?
Not a tournament. Just going fishing. Now, that's going to be fun. Just go out, and this snapper season's still open, too. Mm-hmm. You can go 7 days a week over there, mm-hmm. and you can catch two per person. So, you know, you got
six. We can catch two per person here.
I mean, four per person. I'm sorry, four per person over there.
Right.
So, it's, you know, looking forward to that. But also that deep water structure. We're going to do some deep fishing, deep jigging, deep fishing. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to stopping by your house once you start filleting those fish.
Yep.
And getting them from that. It'll be interesting. You mentioned this, and I think it'll be a good gauge as usually you talk about the Kings moving in this time of year. If we have all those ships, it'll be interesting to see if it's like it used to be.
Yeah.
Right, because you've been talking about it, even to the point that Dr. Sean Powers has been on with us, and they're looking at what's going on with the Kings. You were over in Louisiana, and they weren't there like they're supposed to be. So I'll be interested you go over this time of year, or in a couple of weeks, over to Louisiana and see what you see King-wise.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do much King. I'm going to try to run a rig.
You're Mike Ward.
I'm not going King microfishing, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you're Mike Ward. You're not going to.
Have a real rod on a boat.
Okay, because I wasn't going to believe that. Don't come in here and tell tales that Mike Ward is going to go buy some of these rigs, you know, are good and not just see.
Yeah, we're going to throw something out for sure.
Yeah, because I wasn't about to sit here and buy that. Well, we're not going to go by foot. You're not going King fishing.
Yeah, we're going to try. But always the commercial guys get fired up in October and start catching Kings. Mm-hmm. October and November is when the commercial guys really get kicked off.
Which we'll see.
Kings.
We'll see if this, you know, if this turns around.
Yeah.
See if the Kings were just somewhere else this summer. You know, now they're back, or we got an issue with Kings.
In the last few years, it's been bad in the summertime and in the fall, October and November, the Kings show up and the commercial guys kill them.
Okay.
This time, earlier, I mean, the commercial guy's not even fishing for them. I mean, it's just not there.
Been that tough.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to go. So but October, they start going.
Hopefully, we got good reports by next week on that and get out and enjoy the ships. Also, just wrapping up a couple things, you know, teal season over now, blue wing teal season. I got to go one day and we talked about it on the show last week. I got the kind of the formula I like.
Right.
Got low pressure, in that case, a hurricane, which, my gosh, the damage done by that, by Helene, out in the Gulf. And then we had this cold front coming through. I didn't see it like I thought I would.
So what did you do?
Didn't do anything.
Nothing.
And heard very few shots out there. And I went where I went because we had a big west wind. I was trying to protect, you know, I was trying to run because I was running a small boat. But just didn't see what, in years past, what has been a formula. Even if you didn't have them in your decoys, you're looking up and seeing new birds coming in. I did not see that.
That's
I had friends that hunted. They kept hunting you know, throughout the weekend there, and they killed some, but not many. So I don't know. You know, probably the next 2 weeks we'll have a gazillion teal come through the Mobile Tensaw Delta, but they weren't it was. I mean, people killed some birds, but it was not good.
So through the whole season, they haven't done real well.
Right. You know, and you're always trying to – and by the way, it's going to go back next year to – we'll only have, like right now we had 3 weekends, 2 weeks and 3 weekends. I think we're going back to a, like a 10-day, like 2 weekends in a week next year.
Yeah.
So it's going to drop back for blue wing season. Something that they've talked about, the summer beating, and usually they're a year delayed when they make changes to waterfowl harvest numbers. So we'll be looking at that in 2025. You know, it's a timing game. Yeah. I mean, and even the blue wing numbers were down, but it's not significant enough that you didn't see a flight.
Right.
You know, and I hadn't seen weather this year.
They just haven't showed up.
It didn't. What I saw this year didn't make me think they'd already come through.
Yeah.
Okay, so as of closing down season last weekend, I don't think there's always some. There's at any given point. I mean, it's not like they all migrate at one time. There's blue wings on the Canadian prairie and in the Yucatan in Mexico, you know, at the same time.
Right.
But there's the major wedge of the birds. I just didn't hear that we hit them. And yeah. So maybe they're here now. But that's kind of the review on that. People looking forward to big duck season. We'll see. Things look okay in the Delta, grass-wise. So
what about Louisiana? I wonder if they've had a good season.
You know,
over
people, if you watch social media, here's the thing. People watch social media and get frustrated. Well, I'll tell you what, the people that aren't killing birds are not putting pictures up.
True.
Right? So you get, and I think that's everything in social media. We talk about what it does to people's idea of the world around them.
Right.
They get this idea that everybody is, whether it be fish or ducks or new cars or girlfriends or whatever
everybody's
it is.
Everybody's catching them. Look, you know.
And everybody's life is great. And everybody's on.
And everybody's catching snapper and everybody's catching big grouper. And I can't catch nothing, you know.
Because the people who didn't catch nothing didn't put a post
up
about it. So
exactly right.
But I did see some good reports and some videos, some guys having pretty good shoots in Louisiana. But, you know, you have different hunting, too. You have the hunting down at Venice and that kind of hunting in the marsh. Then you got rice field hunting over the west, and they always seem to get them earlier, so social media can drive you crazy. All right, we'll go to the opposite end of the world from social media. He didn't even have it. Our friend Captain Wayne Miller talks some Delta bass fishing and more when we come back on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward. I'm glad to have y'all along. Remember, too, you can always check in with us on Facebook, where you can post up pictures when you're catching. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Just put the outdoors on it because we've got two Facebook pages. But yes, like I mentioned, just because, you know, Mike and I were talking about it, just because you see everybody else is catching them or killing them, well, you're seeing the people that were successful.
Yeah.
The people that weren't successful aren't posting up the pictures. Or they're a Luddite, like our friend Captain Wayne Miller, who doesn't post anything up on social media.
And he catches them.
And he's catching them. So we don't have any pictures except when we put up his pictures to be jealous of. But I guarantee you, he's catching them. Hey, Wayne.
How you doing, guys?
Man,
we're good.
We're good. So let's talk about this. It's October now. Now, and Mike always says it's the truth. You're catching them, you know, every month of the year. But is this, if you had to pick your favorite time of year, is it fall or is it spring? What's your favorite time to bass fish?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, for the Delta, there's no doubt about it. It is the fall. And, you know, I refer to it as the burrs. Once you get into the months that end in a burr, starting September, you got four of them, buddy, and it just gets better and better.
That is so it is. Yeah, it's the best time to be bass fishing. You're hearing it from the guy who's taking every day out there. Mike and I in the first segment were talking about just the amount of shrimp that folks are getting, just like shrimping for people in the bay. I was at a broadcast the other day at the Battleship, and I may have sneaked a little peek over the rail to see the bait shrimpers working as far up as they legally could, picking up bait. Tells me a little something about what's underneath the water, shrimp-wise. At least, I don't know where they are up in the Delta, but they seem to be right up there at the Causeway and I-10 for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got shrimp way up in the Delta. So it's, you know, and that kind of started early this year. You know, we saw that migration start a little sooner than what we normally do. And especially with the water temperature being as warm as it was. But, you know, right now, you know, I've been on the water this morning, and, you know, I've been in some of the creeks down along the Causeway, and they're just absolutely loaded with shrimp. So, you know, and it's not necessarily the scenario where you have to go out and fish, you know, a shrimp imitation. But, you know, what happens this time of year is when those shrimp really get in here thick like that, it just initiates a phenomenal bite. I mean, and we typically do extremely well with the bass. But, you know, this is that great time of year where if you go out and fish with bass tackle in the delta, the middle or the lower delta, there's no way you can escape catching a mixed bag. You're going to catch redfish. You're going to catch flounder. You know, specks. I mean, and, you know, that's a good problem to have, guys.
You missed one. You got Cavalia.
Well, I try to avoid them, Mike. Yeah. I leave that for you boys that fish the big stuff.
Not me. If I see Cavalia, we go the other way. You know, you mentioned other fish. I want to talk about that because I want to also, you know, get in the bass. Your formula going through the burr months here. But are you finding those fish? Because, I mean, it seems like the shrimp will be there. And I know this is not your, you know, your wheelhouse is bass, but the shrimp, we've had a couple years where the shrimp are in the delta, and it doesn't seem to be, we'll have a week or two or three where the trout fishing's okay, but it doesn't seem the number of trout are up there with the shrimp like they have in the past. Do you know, I mean, I know you don't focus on that, but do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, we just hadn't seen, you know, that, you know, the speckled trout like, you know, you do on some years. I mean, last year and this year. But, you know, what's really odd to me is just the absolute explosion of flounder. I've caught three or four this morning, you know, just fishing Texas rig plastic.
Any size to them?
Yesterday I had two that were 22 inches some 18, 19-inch ones.
He got my attention.
And today I've caught probably a couple over 20, but I caught a couple of small ones today, which is kind of unusual. I hadn't been catching those small ones, but, you know, that's something that I know we've talked about on the show, and I've mentioned here. You know, this year, it's pretty amazing to me, just the explosion of the flounder that we've seen on the Delta. And, you know, I don't, you know, pretend to know anything about flounder. But one thing that's really promising to me is, you know, anytime you're seeing everything from small ones to these big, I mean, big 22, 23-plus inch flounder, is indicative to me that, you know, I mean, the population is healthy.
I'm with you. I think, you know, as you get older as a sportsman, fishing or hunting, you get more excited about seeing the young, the old. Like, I, you know, in the turkey world, I mean, I love to hunt turkeys like Mike does, and I get excited about gobblers when I'm hunting, but the rest of the year, I get most excited about seeing poults and young ones.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing that fires me up more. But those, the flounder thing is, if we were already recovering, or it was all because of the intervention here from the state, or a combination of both, good on you, because we have done a major turnaround here on flounder.
Oh, man.
Big time.
And, you know, the guys that I know that go out and target them, you know, over the last 6 weeks on the Mobile River, they have absolutely just been whacking them, man. I mean, so, you know, I know the flounder fishing has really got, you know, just incredible here, you know, the last couple of years. And that's always good to know. Even if I'm not going out targeting them, I still love to catch them. And I don't know anybody that doesn't love to eat them.
No, they're my favorite, no doubt about it.
Mike, I mean, you had a good flounder trip this last week.
Yeah, we did. We floundered down at Dolphin Island with a couple of my buddies, Ken Everbetter and David Lauber. And, you know, we kept, you know, about eight, I guess, and probably caught about 15, you know, some of them small. But the wind was blowing out of the northeast about 15 knots. We couldn't fish where we wanted to. Well, so, you know, but we had an okay trip.
But you're on Dolphin Island doing that. And here's Wayne Miller, just, You don't have to give me your spot, but how far up the river have you been catching flounder? I mean, how far from the causeway? It just right there, or gone more than a mile up?
Oh, no. I mean, I've caught them as far up, well past 12 Mile Island on the Mobile side. I've caught them as far up as the trestle.
See, that's awesome to think about that. Mike, you're up there, Mike's there, and in between we know they're flounder. So, good deal. It's good news that that's coming back, and you know. Of course, by next month we'll go into Dover retention, but right now, you know, we're seeing the effects of that, and it's been a good thing. So, okay, and once again, you're not throwing a bull minnow, you're not throwing a shrimp. So, for people to think about, you're fishing your normal bass tackle and catching these flounder.
I tell you what, guys, you know, and I wrote articles for the paper 20 plus years ago on this bait. And it still is phenomenal now as it was 25 years ago. A watermelon chartreuse tail lizard on this delta is a absolute fish smacker, boys. I'm telling you, it catches everything. Redfish love it. Specks, flounder, bass. I mean, that's what I'm fishing it for is bass. But, you know, I just fish it, you know, typically with a Texas rig with a quarter ounce tungsten weight and either a 1 or 2-aught, you know, EWG hook.
What length are you throwing? What length?
It's a 6-inch.
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, something that I did want to mention since we were doing the show today, you know, this past week, you know, and even though we're in October now, I mean, as we transitioned out of September, guys, we still had some really hot weather. I mean, we had a couple of days where we were in the 90s. I was having to tell myself, you know, it really isn't August, Wayne. You know, you're hallucinating. But you know, the key for this delta, and I would encourage, you know, anybody listening, anytime you listen to, you know, the fishing reports, you know, keep in mind, I know over this past week, you know, I fished both the middle delta and I'm talking about as far up north as basically 65, you know, around, you know, on both the east and west side of the delta. And I fished a lot down along the causeway. But this time of year, it's really a transition period for bass. And, you know, even though, you know, you hear us talking about on these shows, you hear us talking about, you know, seeing a tremendous number of shrimp in the creeks and whatever. And I've had some really good trips where I've caught them, you know, on DOAs and voodoo shrimp. But, and there's, obviously a lot of guys going out with live shrimp. But the key is, you know, you have to be versatile because, you know, a lot of times I'll leave and I'll have, you know, my mindset will be, okay, I'm going down, I'm going to hit these creeks on the causeway, and I'm going to whack them on that DOA this morning. Well, I get down there, and even though there's shrimp everywhere, they just won't hit the DOA.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes you have to transition to a spinnerbait. Sometimes you can get them to hit a topwater. You know, a buzzbait's a great tool for our delta. I mean, these fish really love a buzzbait. I think one reason for that this time of year is because anytime a bass gets after a shrimp, his only defense mechanism is to go to the top of the water and jump. So, you know, the buzzbait typically works well. But, you know, getting back to my point is you have to be versatile because I've gone down there, you know, this past week's been really a perfect example for me. You know, just about every day I've gone with a game plan. And you're talking about somebody's on the water virtually every day.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm going blind, guys. But even at that, I still have to change my techniques almost daily. Because if you don't, man, this delta, it'll spank you pretty hard.
Yeah, just because you caught them yesterday on a buzzbait don't mean tomorrow you're going to catch them on a buzzbait again.
Man, Mike, I tell you, man, if you go down there with that mindset, oh, man, you'll get beat up pretty bad.
Yep.
So, you know, and that's why it's so important. And I know over the years we've talked about it on the show, you know, trying to give people, you know, direction and really give them good, solid, you know, advice to help them catch fish here on the Delta. But, you know, it's so important to keep a variety of baits rigged and ready to go on the deck of your boat. I mean, you need that soft plastic. You need that, you know, just that Texas rig plastic. You need a spinner bait. You know, you need a top water. I mean, there's, because you can get in situations down there where sometimes you just pick up. It's a matter of, you know, making a change. And one day this past week, one morning, I went down and, you know, some of the drains in a creek, you know, I was catching them on soft plastic on that lizard because I couldn't get them to hit a top water. I couldn't get them to hit a DOA or anything. And then all of a sudden I was easing up towards another cut, a little drain, and just so happened I saw a shrimp come up on top, right on the upper side of that drain. And, you know, I hadn't thrown a DOA in an hour.
Yeah.
And I set that plastic down. I picked up that DOA rod, first cast in there. I just twitched that DOA and then dead sticked it down and boom, caught one. I caught on five consecutive casts. I caught five good, solid bass.
Man.
I like you. If you're talking about what you're throwing, but you mentioned like the drains in a creek. Explain that to somebody who's probably new to this. Like, what does that mean?
Well, anywhere you've got, you know, a little drain or another creek that's pouring into that one. And a lot of times what you'll have, it'll just be, you know, in these creeks, it'll just be a drain that you'll see the water going up, you know, in the grass. And, you know, especially on the outgoing tide, it'll create current that's pouring out. And a lot of times that water will be clearer than the water in the main creek. But, you know, just like that day I just described, you know, what was funny is now I came to probably three or four other drains in that same creek, and didn't catch another fish on a DOA.
You figured out what was different.
Well, you know, the only thing different that I could tell was there were actually, you know, shrimp present in that ditch mouth, that little drain where I caught them. Like I say, you just got to have it on the deck, and you got to be willing to pick something up and try it. You know, and a lot of times, you know, that'll be dictated by, you know, if you've got moving water and if you're fishing grass or, you know, wood structure, you just got to be willing to try different baits. But you know, the great thing is you know, these are fairly basic techniques. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a Texas rig plastic. You're talking about a spinner bait, you know, a crank bait, or, you know, a buzz bait, you know, and these are all things that you can pick up and, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a tremendous amount of experience to, you know, to be pretty proficient with these type baits. Good. It's not like you're trying to skip a trick worm, you know, 40 feet up underneath the dock.
Yeah. I need the easier baits out there. Or we can just learn from the expert in person. Somebody wants to get a trip booked with you, I mean, this is a dang good time to do it. How do they get in touch with you?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Captain Wayne, we appreciate it, and we'll check back with you soon and get back to catching them.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Wayne.
There goes Captain Wayne Biller, and we're coming right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward, who are both busy figuring out if he's catching them on that lizard, what we would do with bull minnows in those same spots.
Wouldn't that be good?
You know, and I didn't get to go gigging this year. We've run out of time. I used to love to gig just south of the Causeway.
Yeah. Man, you've done it.
Yeah, you and I've done it. And, yep. and that area in there, you know, you could go and you can find clear water because you get grass on the bars. Some years you get more grass on the bars than others. But the gigging used to be real good in there. And with the numbers coming back like they are.
Probably be time to go.
It would be time to go. But yeah. We've got all the other things to do as well.
There's so many things to do. Like we talk about every year, this time of year, Sean, there's just so many things to do. I mean, I'm getting ready for the up the country. I hadn't even been up there. I hadn't been to my camp to do anything. I haven't bush hogged.
Well, that's going
to
be fun.
I hadn't cut some trees down that's down on my roads. I did go up there and just rode around and looked and said, yeah, I got to cut that tree, that tree. I'm getting out of here. It's 103 degrees. I'm not doing it at 103 degrees. But, you know, you're getting things ready for the hunting camp. Of course, I'm going to Kansas several times this year. I've been twice. I'm going three more times. You know, I hadn't hunted yet, but I'm getting ready to next week when I go up there. I'm going hunting. So looking forward to that. But then, you know, the fishing's good. Like I say, we just went flounder fishing the other day. Flounder fishing's off the chart. The bass fishing's great right now. Offshore's super good. They're catching fish like crazy offshore. I mean, there's just so many things to do. It's hard to pick what you can do. And then the worst thing is I got to work too.
Yeah, there's that.
there's that.
There's that. You know? And we are, like, looking by this weekend here, we are just – the 15th, so let's see, 5th, 10th. Yeah, so it's a week away. Week away from bow season.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it starts on the 15th. So what is that? It's Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah, it starts on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we got that. Of course, what'll keep me out of the deer woods for a little bit is if it doesn't cool down some.
That's right. And that's what I've been up to. Went to Kansas a couple weeks ago, and it was 100 degrees up there. 95 and 100, you know, I didn't care anything about it. I was working up there doing work, but I didn't care anything at all. Even though I'm in Kansas, I didn't care anything at all about going hunting. I didn't say, oh, man, I wish I'd have got a chance to go hunting. No, not at all. I didn't care anything about it.
Okay. Well,
I got to get to you. Just want to get the weather.
It's gonna get colder up there before it does here, though.
Yeah, but you want it right. You want the weather cool no matter whether you're here or where you're at. It's no fun going deer hunting when it's 85, 90, 95, 100 degrees. This, to me, it's no fun.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, even though we got some good ones on camera, I mean, I just don't want to go sit in the woods and be sweating at 95 degrees.
No, and maybe by the 15th. Maybe things will have turned around. We'll get that.
Well, I hope so. I mean, at least
first
at
cool
night
front.
There, it's in the 60s right now.
It is
now.
Nice.
You
yeah.
know, it's cool in the morning, so it's not bad in the morning. But in the afternoon, it's still so hot. Mosquitoes are bad. I mean, it's just no fun.
A reminder, too, we talked about a little bit. We've talked about a whole bunch of times on the show, but for people who just missed this, and it's been years and years and years of this, if you're in Zone B.
Got to mention it.
You're in Zone B. That's all of us here, unless you hunt, you know, in another zone. But if you're down here in our part of the state, you're hunting in Zone B. While bow season starts on the 15th, you can't shoot does until the 25th of October.
Right.
The first 10 days later. Bucks only.
Yep.
No does.
Yep.
And, you know, so that's the rules. And it makes sense, too, because you have a big chance of orphaning a fawn shooting does this time of year.
Yeah.
Or shooting them. And honestly, we've talked about it in the past. To be safe, you probably shouldn't shoot them until mid-November.
That's right.
You know, to make sure. You get fawns. You could say, well, my fawns are. Yeah, I've got. Listen, we've talked about it. I run a gajillion cameras. So, by the way, I lost a. Well, I told you. The bears were eating. A bear was one bear. It's funny how they have different personalities. I have bears that never mess with a thing.
Yeah.
And I had one that's taken to chewing the antennas on some of my cutting lake cameras.
Oh, man.
And then I found one the other day that wasn't reporting, and he went ahead and had that one.
He
ate the mount that it was on, knocked off. It fell on a bridge, too, of all places that had big, wide gaps. I got so lucky.
Didn't go in the water, but...
Took the bottom plate off of it. Yeah, he roughed it up pretty good. But think about cameras is watching so many. I've got fawns that there's some of them I think about lost all spots.
Maybe.
And I have fawns that are got so it's you know, you could say, well, I saw a fawn on my place, it doesn't have any spots, it's probably ready to go. That may be that fawn.
Yeah.
But unless you you know, if you got the reality of, you know, you get a rut, then you get another rut, you got maybe a month between those fawns of maturity.
That's right. You know, another thing that people have got to remember to do is report. If you shoot a doe when doe season does come in the 25th, you've got to report them.
Yep. So, I mean,
it's not just bucks. People have to remember they have to report the does too.
The smartest thing they did with the state to get compliance in that is when people go to the deer processor, does, whatever, and you have to have that number, that harvest number.
They won't process it if you don't have that number.
That was like, if you look at all the enforcement mechanisms and you could do all that, to me, that was brilliant.
Yep, it was.
Now people go, oh, yeah, I need to file that deer.
And same way with taxidermists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taxidermists won't take it unless you got the number.
Right. But I'm saying on the doe side.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That was file brilliant. Doe's, but, you know, then they haul up the processor, and processor says, where's your number?
Yeah. Listen, we all forget.
It's a good reminder.
Hey, look, I've forgotten, too, taking a deer up to the processor and he says, where's your number? I said, oh, yeah, I do have to register. You know, I'm with you every week. Mm-hmm. We're talking about it all the time. But you just, you know, it's late at night or something. Mm-hmm. You finally get the deer out of the woods and, you know, you're just excited or whatever it is. And you just don't think about it. I mean, I see how people can forget it very easy because I've done it.
Yeah, the nice reminder is you take it to the processor and they say, where's your number? And they go, oh.
That's right.
Get that thing reported.
And I've reported a day after, too.
I have, too. I've done that.
When I forgot to do it, you know. I've done it snapper fishing. Mm-hmm. You know, get home and say, oh, man, I didn't report these snapper. And then I'll stop and report them.
Yep.
You know, I've done that. So I know if me and you do it, and we talk about it all the time, everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm. So just try to, just remember that. Just
that's
the rules out there. And, you know,
if you forget it, just report it. Yep. Go ahead and report it.
Yep. So, even does, y'all, even does. So check that out. And all that information, of course, on your Outdoor Alabama app, or you can go to the website, Outdoor Alabama, and get more info on that. All right. Also, we come back here. One of the stories here that we talked about on the midday show, and I think we talked on the outdoor show as well, this do you need a license to take part in a jubilee, you know? So, and there's a state lawmaker, guy's been on my midday show several times, Matt Simpson, Representative Matt Simpson, is going to pre-file a bill here that wouldn't require a fishing license for jubilees. But we'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. And I don't know, we'd rather go do stuff in the woods, go flounder gigging, go offshore fishing. And like we talked about at the beginning of the show, go ahead and catch it. Maybe a silver lining to the strike at the port is who knows how many ships will be at anchorage south of the lighthouse in Farewell Buoy.
Yep. I remember a couple of years ago, Sean. There was like
COVID?
There was like 20 ships out there.
And I lingfished during that.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
So, I don't know that it's good, but it's, while the rest of the world's going to, and I'm still upset with the, situation and all that, but I'm going to make a little lemonade out of these lemons.
Yes, sir.
That's what you do. Right. I mentioned this before we went to the break, and it's a story that I've talked about on midday and had Representative Matt Simpson on before, and he and I went around and round on this. There's a lot of people that agree with him. Okay, I'm not one of them. I mean, it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It's just I don't agree with him on it. The story is, so Lanyap put the story up. So a Daphne state lawmaker filed a bill to no longer require a fishing license for those eager to pick up flounder and other marine life during a Mobile Bay Jubilee. After one of the first occurrences of the rare event this summer ended with her arrest. We talked about that story.
Right.
Okay. So this is what he had brought before. This is the kind of time of year they pre-file bills for the upcoming session in Montgomery, right? That'll be in, I think, February, start this year. Said Representative Matt Simpson said Wednesday, it does not make sense for the government to charge someone who wants to be part of a natural phenomenon that happens in only one other place on the planet. His quote, Daphne is a jubilee city. If I've got people coming in from out of town, if I've got people who want to just go down and experience a jubilee, why do they have to have a fishing license just to experience a jubilee? If you're not you're not baiting a rod. You're literally standing in ankle-deep water, and if you want to pick up a flounder, you pick up a flounder, end quote. I would just point back to this. You're still harvesting the flounder.
Yes. You're in possession.
It's not you're about that. We call them fishing licenses because, in reality, most places you got to have a rod and reel to catch fish, right? I mean, most places in the world. But the fishing license is not about the act of casting.
Yeah.
It's about harvesting the fish, right? Or even catch and release.
However you harvest them. Harvest by hand, harvest by gig, harvest by a reel and rod. Are you snatch hooking them with a treble hook? Right. You're fishing. Now, whether you're off a pier, off of a bridge, off the side of the road, it doesn't matter. You've got to have a fishing license.
And I think this is part of the problem, too, that it's seen, and I get it, there's, and like I said, Matt Simpson's a good guy, and there's plenty of people who agree with him, good folks, but they see it from the perspective of, well, I'm not fishing. I see it as a conservationist who likes to have great flounder populations and all that we have to have a mechanism here to give back when you're taking critters. And you'd say, okay, well, catch and release. Well, you're not catching. If you catch and release, you still have to have a fishing license.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you grab fish and retain them and release, you're still using the resource.
So does he not want to have a limit either?
Well, and that's the argument has been made that the limit is okay.
Okay.
Because he and I talked about this a month or two ago on the show. And the limit thing was okay. It was just a license thing. It says here further in the story, this is our buddy Scott Bannon talking. The Department of Conservation and Natural Resources has done really well restocking the population and making sure the flounder population still exists. This just says, dang it, there's only two places in the world where you can have a jubilee. Why does the government have to tell you you have to have a fishing license? End quote. Well, in addition to Simpson, now Daphne's mayor, Robin Lejeune, said he appreciated Simpson for taking the lead on the issue, calling the bill, quote, a great thing, end quote, for Eastern Shore residents and describing jubilees as an important part of the city's history. Those things are true, but not related. It is an important part of the city's history.
Yeah.
It is a jubilee city. But because of that, that doesn't mean you should be able to not have a license to take the fish that you would have to if you were throwing a bull minnow out on a hook.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I don't know. I don't understand that, to be honest with you. You know, to get a couple-day license or 7-day license or something that for an Alabama resident, that's just – we're talking about, what, $5, $8, $6, whatever it is. It can't be much.
No, and you can get them – you know, you can go online now with your phone and get them. If the jubilee's happening, you can get
them. You can get them right now.
Even they got in the quote in the story here, Sherry Sullivan, mayor of Fairhope, says she agrees with it. I think the politicos agree with it because – the people that want this are calling their representatives. This is how our system works. And they're hearing from them. So if somebody's not really into the outdoors or fishing or whatever, they just hear their people want it. It's probably a good promotional thing or whatever. But it does, to me, I mean, when we start saying, well, you don't have to have a license because you're not catching them on a hook, it does, then, but you have to have one to gig.
Yeah. And they're not catching them by hand.
Right.
They're not catching flounder by hand, I don't think.
A net, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so that's, you know, it's a thing going on, and it's, I think there are fair-minded people on both sides. I am just, and I know, listen, I get a lot of blowback on this. People have this idea that we should be able to take whatever, there's some people who just agree with this thing, so I'm not going to lump everybody in together. I don't like when people do that. There are people who just agree with this specific part of it. There's also a wider group of people that say, I should be able to take whatever I want, whenever I want.
Right.
You know, and you've heard those people like, God put the critters here for me to take, and I should be able to do whatever I want. You know what that led to in our country? Y'all want to go back and see what it led to? When it's market hunting and all that, we almost collapse this great gift we have.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's like a pragmatic argument about jubilees versus fishing. But then there are a group, and I'm not saying these people are in that group, but there's a group of people think I shouldn't have to have a license for anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for years and years and years, forever, I didn't have a saltwater license. Didn't need a saltwater license to go fishing in saltwater. South of the Causeway, you didn't have to have a license.
That's right.
You know, go
then
out
they
and
put
go
it into effect.
And now it's another tax, another license. You got to have a license. You got to have a license for everything now.
But then again, I would argue at the same time, they weren't doing much to make fishing better right. in saltwater.
Right. They are.
And the license
they
came in,
are
and they started,
there's no doubt about it.
They started putting that money back
right.
in.
That's right.
So it's.
And you got to have it for enforcement, you know.
Right.
You can't, to, you know.
Because
I,
if you don't
I
have
totally
enforcement, then people take every. It's, once again, you look back at the history. I get where your heart is sometimes on this. You know, God put the critters there. We should be able to get them. At the same time, look what happened in the past.
That's right.
Read up on the history.
So, got to have limits.
I'm sure we'll get some interaction on this. You can leave your comments over at the Facebook page or send me an email, Sean@fmtalk1065.com. That's S-E-A-N. All right, we'll do it again next week. Y'all have a great one.